We go on with the Eightfold. Both Buddha and Self transcended. Whip, rope, person and bull, all merged, no trace remains. The vast blue sky cannot be reached by mine. How can a snowflake exist in a raging fire? Here is the footprints of the patriarchs, of the Buddhas. Whip, rope, person and bull all merged, no trace remain. First it was discipline, rope, then awareness, whip, then the bull. Now the person itself is also gone, all merged. Now there is no more conflict. No trace remains. The vast blue sky cannot be reached by the mind. You cannot reach that the limitless with the thoughts, only by consciousness. How can a snowflake exist in a raging fire? You can't. That's why for the enlightened ones, it seems so silly that the snowflake is trying to protect itself because it will land in the fire. Relax. Here is the footprints of the Buddhas. Not only the footprints, but that's where the Buddhas are, because there is no time. You have gone beyond the struggle of the mind. Then you enter the timeless. Then there is peace then. You don't need discipline, you don't need awareness, you don't need to find yourself. First a long struggle to find yourself, then you forget the self also. That's what Buddha has the word anatta. It means no self. It's much better than finding the self, because then you can think that then you will be more you. No self, then what is there to find then? He doesn't give you any hope to find anything. You have two different paths. You have one of fullness, one of emptiness. No? Buddha is talking about emptiness. You come to the full circle. There's nothing left. Everything goes boof. That is no self, anatta. That is the full circle. That is the eight. No, there is nothing more to do. It's complete. A circle is without beginning and without end. That's how the existence is working in circles, no? The planet is round. The different seasons, they come and go. And in the East, they have taken it further, life and death. In the Western thinking, which is more linear, there everything has a beginning and an end. No, it's not. You can't have a beginning and an end if you are one with the Tao. It's circular, it's round. There is no beginning and no end. Resting in that, you are beyond beginning and end. You are in the timeless. It fits very good because today is also full moon. And that's always been a symbol of enlightenment because full. And it's very beautiful. But it doesn't burn you. But it gives light. Very mysterious. Very mysterious light. It's not like the sun that you have to almost hide from. You get burnt. Not the moon, you can just sit and watch. All meditators, all the Buddhas, you have the picture with the moon, with the full moon. It means now you have come to your full circle, now you are full. And you are silent like the full moon. You are beautiful like the full moon. You are shining like the full moon. This is the full circle. The vast blue sky cannot be reached by the mind. That's why all reading, all words, all books, all scriptures, all techniques, all discipline has to be left at one point. How can a snowflake exist in a raging fire? It's impossible. And this is the transformation from being cold to being hot, to falling down, rising up. The snowflake is falling down. The flames are going up. Here is the footprints of the Buddhas. And this is what I call the real happy family. No, there's no way to go now. No, there is rest. And great celebration. That is Zen, which it came from these Zen bulls. But I remember Osho talking about there was only 8 pictures. No, it stops. It stops at the 8, the old pictures, because that is Buddhahood. Then you are a full moon. You're full circle, you're complete. No more division. Wholeness. If you are fragmented, you can't reach. You have to become one. That's the whole search, to become one. To be whole. But then this branch of Buddhism that became Zen in Japan, they took it 2 steps further. That's why it's very unique. They don't understand that in the West. Zen is very mysterious, it's very strange. But for a Buddha, it's very beautiful because you integrate it in everything. Otherwise, in the eighth stage, no, at last you find peace. That's why for thousands of years the enlightened ones have disappeared. They just live quietly because they know it's going to be fast. No, at last they find peace. They've been dealing so much with all the things, all the struggle to find themselves with their own minds, with their own thoughts. Why should you want to go and mix with the minds again? No, better be quiet. But this expression of the 10 Senbus, then you have two after that. And that makes it very unique. That's why it's very beautiful. Because you're coming back again into the world. After enlightenment, you're coming back again. Which is almost as far as up to the eight to come back again, because you have to integrate it again. You have to functioning in the world, which is has its own challenges, because now you are very sensitive. Of course, you have to purify everything. And then to function again with all the hard rocks and the knives and the needles. That is beautiful because also it gives hope, it gives courage. You show something that is possible. What is the point? The flower is beautiful, it sits on a mountaintop, but nobody sees it, no? If it's in the village, then many people, of course most people are too busy, but at least some will see it. So that's why this expression of sun became very, very beautiful. I can totally understand it. They integrate it in everything. In flower arrangement, in swordsmanship, in bow and arrow, in gardening, in food, in walking, in dressing. They could blend into everything, that awareness. So it wasn't just fixed to one. It wasn't just stagnant, like you had to become a yogi or you had to become a monk. No, it could be integrated. For men and women. So it was something very unique that you can bring it with you all the way and be ordinary again. But when you first, when there is first no division, which is this, the number eight is all about, then in some mysterious way you have to learn to function again as a nobody. And the whole teaching of Buddha, again and again he talks about compassion. You have to be compassionate. Of course, the ordinary mind just take that as being good, goody goody. What is right, what is wrong? No, that is not true compassion. Compassion can only come from your insight. When you have found peace, when you have found truth, when you have found realization, then compassion can come. And it comes in any way. And Buddha said the greatest gift is the gift of truth. So that must be the greatest compassion. But you see, human beings is always like they can't really receive the truth and they can't really receive compassion. Look at Jesus. What happened to him? He just wanted to, his whole religion was love, understanding. And look what happened. This is how it goes. Even Buddha got poisoned. They try, it's always people who are jealous, who is comparing, who get angry, even with the Buddhas, even with the enlightened ones. They still want to fight. And many times their own disciples. That's why there's a Judas and all these people. It's always like that. So be aware of the mind. But know in the eighth, know no more division. No more fight. There is fight till this point where there is no more struggle. Because the ego always wants to fight. Even if you want something, you are longing, you are even know that you want something, and then the master is telling you that, then still you fight. Because you want to be in charge. Instead of being happy. Oh, I'm in tune. You can always take it a negative way. So be aware of the mind, how tricky it is. There only will be peace when you have put down the sword and understood that the Buddha is only your innermost self talking to you. But as long as you are fighting yourself, you have to fight outside. All the Buddha says, let go, relax, easy is right. But how can you let go? Then you will disappear then. That's why the fight then. So you can think that you're doing things, but you are not really ready. What is all the problems is suddenly finished? Then what? What are you going to do then? What are you going to complain about? Must be very boring then, nothing to do. You're so used to having so many problems. Suddenly, no more. And then functioning out of that. That's the suggestion of the Buddhas. Why don't you try that? Instead of going on with the fighting, struggling, holding, protecting. This is a very old habit. The ego always resists. And the more strong the light is, the more it will resist, of course. That's why I say is everything will come up here. Everything will come up around me. Everything will come up in satsang. It's bound to happen. Because the light is stronger. You're coming close. The snowflake is coming closer to the fire. So everything will come up. It can go very quick and it can go very slow. Because the ego, it doesn't like the light, no? It likes darkness, it doesn't like confusion, it doesn't like clarity. It doesn't like love, it doesn't like prayer, it doesn't like compassion, it doesn't like melting. No, these things the ego doesn't like. It wants to protect itself. And because all these, you disappear. Whip, rope, reason, person and bull all merge, no trace remain. The vast blue sky cannot be reached by the mind. How can a snowflake exist in a raging fire? Here is the footprints of the patriarchs, the Buddhas. No, you can see it. No, this is where they walk. That is the full moon. Wholeness. Beloved mysterious rose, where did you come from? How did you find my nose? Your scent, oh your scent, it made me into a crazy bumblebee, buzzing in a crazy dance with your crazy craziness. How divine to be invited in and drink and drink and drink of whatever that was you shared so freely in this mad cosmic choreography. Sitting silently with you was beyond words. Such love. How can you so gently point at my ugliest spots and open my eyes? That is the only way to open the ugliest spots. With love, with gentleness. Otherwise, you just close. And that's what you used to. You always close because it's attack. Already, you are protecting yourself. If anything comes, you are so ready to protect yourself. So the light never comes in. The only way is through love. That's why I go on reminding you. And in some mysterious way, your armor is going down a bit when you sit in satsang. Maybe your shield is next to you, I don't know. But in some mysterious way, it's not there. I take you on off guard. That is what is happening here. And then you can see. Otherwise, you can never see. Where did you come from? I don't know. But we are here. Such love, how can you so gentle point at my ugly spots and open my eyes? In one of the satsangs, you lovingly fixed my gaze to see what was growing behind me, a monstrous weed coming out of my footsteps. You spoke about how the memory of the bull, once having been ridden, easily shapes into a spiritual ego. I recognize myself there. I thank you for helping me see. That's good. Because you have to have the right setting, the right climate to recognize things, to see. And then when something really goes in, when you recognize something, when you become aware, then everything starts changing then. You are not so identified with yourself, with your story. These seeds of weeds are very rigorous and cunning. In many times for people, this spiritual ego, it comes up. Anything that is happening, the ego takes it. Then it becomes a memory. It's not your reality any longer, but it's something that happened. You had an insight, you had a satori, you had a little glimpse. And then that becomes juicy food for the ego. That's what you call the spiritual ego. Then you want to do everything. It depending on the person. Some people are quiet, go on. Some people it goes in there. Then they want to start teaching, they want to brag about it, they want to show they are more spiritual than others. Maybe they want to start giving satsang. Something. Because now they have. And suddenly then, it's not there anymore. Then what to do? That is very embarrassing. Then you have to hold on to it. This weed comes from the same old place, from the feeling of having no value in me, feeling inferior, and the compensation is desperate. But why go on this game of feeling superior, inferior? That is the thing. This weed comes from the same old place where the feeling of having no value in me, feeling inferior, and the compensation is desperate. But this game is one of the ego games. Either you're superior or you're inferior. Either you're good or you're bad. Otherwise, you're top of the world, you are so spiritual. Otherwise, you're just the useless, hopeless fuck. This is how the mind goes. Why? That's the whole thing with awareness. Start looking at yourself. Look how you are torturing yourself. You have to go beyond both. It's not a question of inferior or superior, or inferior or superior. Just be, relax. Being in your presence is very soothing. It is the best gift I can give myself. Somehow I found my way to this beautiful place and I'm slowly starting to feel at home with everything here. So I can't be all that stupid, since at least I follow the light, even when it's not so clear. Somehow I found a way to this beautiful place, and I'm slowly starting to feel at home with everything here. Yeah, it always takes some time, Poonam. And that's why I always want to have longer retreats, because then you settle in. No, you get more in tune with my energy, with your own energy, with everything. You start falling into place. It doesn't happen in a day. No, you have to integrate this, take it with you. That's very good. At least I follow the light, even when it's not so clear. The light is always clear, but you are not. But as you clean your eyes, the light is getting stronger. That's what's happening. You are becoming more present. You can more see. And seeing is all that matters. It's not what you see. At least you're seeing. Seeing it as it is. All these strange things, both wonderful and scary, that has happened to me in my body, sounds, lights, visions, spontaneous body movement, like waking up in weird yoga postures in the middle of the night, having no clue how I got there, made it all blurry. I was looking so hard for an explanation, a map or something. Again, it's the mind that wants explanation. Just enjoy it. As long as you can untie yourself. And if you can't untie yourself, this is too heavy duty yoga, professional yoga situation, then just scream for help. Don't be embarrassed. Because many of these people here, they have seen many things by now. And then they manage to pull your arms and your legs out. Haven't you seen it in these cartoons sometimes? They put knots on them, you know, and then they lay there. They have some people also that is very flexible. They do that. I saw one guy got stuck in it. They try to fit into a little box. Haven't you seen that trick? They fold themselves into a little box. You can't imagine that little box. You can send it with the post, you know, a little thing. And then he got stuck in there. I had to break the whole box. I can't understand. Well, for what? I mean, definitely you don't see the light in that box, that's for sure. I mean, use your height, stretch out, maybe you see something. Smaller, 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 smaller. Squeeze it in there. It's like you're not tight enough, now you're going to go into a box. It's weird. Oh my God. You know, all kind of human beings. That's what he did this life. Practice to get into his box. I was looking so hard for an explanation, a map or something. It was all very seductive, but suddenly I see that in that seductiveness lies the explanation. It is not the real thing. No, in the real thing you forget all thing. That's it. In the real thing you forget all thing. Everything is just like it should be, like it always has been. There's no thing, there's nothing to think about. There's no explanation. And if anything comes with the explanation, you even think, then you're not there, then you're gone then. You left the temple now. That's it. It's not the real thing. I needed to feel your scent to understand. I hope now that I get so intoxicated that I never forget. Yes, that's what I'm trying to make you. Totally intoxicated, then you forget about all. I mean, a drunkard, when he's drunk, he doesn't ask, how did he get to the pub? Then, you are there, man. This is it. He's not even worried how he gets home. And if you can't figure it out, let's have another drink. And that's the same thing like here. If you can't figure it out, have another shot. I know that everybody can find a way. How can you be both a rose and the master gardener? I don't know. It's a mystery. If what I see in you is what I truly am, then there is no one I rather meet than myself. That's it, babe. I am a rose freak. In our country house, we have planted so many different roses, and all are chosen for the scent. We choose the ones that smell the most heavenly. I have one favorite, a pink Alba rose, which has very sweet flowers and a scent like angels singing. We might have to sell the house, and I have to resist. I have resisted for so long time, all due to that one rose that gives such happiness. But now you have found another rose now. Is it easier to give it up then? That's the right sign. When you find something that is better, then it's easy to leave the old. If you don't have, you think this is the best, then it's very difficult. If you have something that takes you beyond that, then not only is it not difficult, you just forget it. Because you smell something else. It's nothing to do with you, it's to do with the nose. Like that. You stay out of it, interest the nose. It's very innocent. Know that the scent of your rose, your mysterious rose, has captured me. It doesn't matter if we can keep the little country house or not. The simplicity of your love has sent me straight to that garden of the beloved. This must be what Rumi writes about. This is it, babe. This is it. Isn't it far out? Thank you for this place. It is beautiful. Delicious silence and nature's splendor and generosity. Wow. And all the lovely friends supporting and caring for us all. I can't believe how lucky I am. I am at the feet of my master. I shall never leave. I can wait forever in your garden to catch one more glimpse of you. Until then, I keep weeding and weeding and weeding. Thank you for showing me the tools. Perhaps someday I shall feel a bit less like a fish gulping for oxygen, trying to find a connection to some lingual brain center that has ceased to function when you talk to me. Until then, please accept my very lovingly gulps. Yours forever, Poonam. Yes. But I will drag you up on land. Kabir says, I laugh when I hear the fish in the sea is thirsty. Even the fishes, they think they are thirsty. It's the same situation. You don't know where we are. You don't need to go. Just breathe natural. Beloved, a lot of memories from my childhood have been showing up these days. Situations that made me feel different from everybody else. I was always different. I remember once I was invited to a party. Maybe I was 8 years old. I loved to dance and sing since I was a little child. So in the party, I was like an E.T. All the girls were sitting on the chairs, looking at the boys and waiting for them. All the boys were playing with each other, and I was dancing alone. I danced the whole evening. I remember that I didn't care if I was dancing alone, but I also remember that when I went to talk with the girls, they rejected me, and that they were laughing at me just because I was dancing. To get in contact with those memories make me understand a bit why we lose our spontaneity, our innocence, when we start to grow up. I had always been an outsider. Then I started the journey of trying to fit in. And what I can remember from that is just sad, trying to be part of a group which I didn't fit in anyway. Maybe I even fit in those groups, but I couldn't relax and just be myself because I didn't want to lose my place. I was afraid of being judged and rejected. After all those years living like this, I ended up isolating myself from everybody, refusing to have contact with anyone. It was then you came into my life. When I look back and remember me as a child, I can only see love. It is good to remember when I could just enjoy myself, even if I was totally different from the others, and still be happy. I think I never told you, but I had such a grandfather. He was from Lebanon. He was pure love. Really, Sugali? From Lebanon? From the montagnes, you know? I have another from Lebanon, yeah, no? You know that? Yeah? I only know one in Lebanon, no? Kahil Gibran, no? He was there. He was very nice man. So then maybe I have some soft spot for Lebanese people. You never went there? He was pure love. They say that we loved each other like two true lovers. He used to say that I had opened his heart. He died when I was 7. To have found you made me feel again connected with that unconditional love. I want to tell you that I got very afraid of losing you when we were in Brazil. It was a day when I felt so much love for you. I felt like disappearing in love. And then came the fear of losing it, as if I was going to do something wrong and lose you, your love. In the fear of losing, I felt separated again. And then, as if I had taken a painkiller, I could not feel anything for a while. No pain, but also no love. And I just have been patiently waiting for this to pass. And it is leaving me now, beloved. I am so crazy about you. I was born to be at your feet. Please let me tell you 1,000 times, thank you for all you are, my beloved one. I love you with all my heart, your devotee Sugandhi. This is the whole challenge. Almost everybody have all these things from the past that they've been holding back. But now you just to find back to that innocence again. Huh? Here you can dance as much as you want, you can sit as much as you want. Even singing, I have said it's okay for you, even though I don't know if I will stop it or not. That's what they say, you know, in the presence of the guru, you forget your whole personality, you know, then you remember something else. When you're a child, you don't have that yet. You don't have developed an ego, a personality. You are just free, you know. You don't think about it. Then slowly, slowly, you are trained up. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, this is bad. Don't do this. Oh, you are embarrassment for your parents. The poor child more and more gets more and more tight. Huh? What's wrong to roll in the mud? Huh? When everybody, you roll in the mud with the dog, you are so happy, totally blissed out. And there are these grown up, like something is wrong. How can it be wrong? It's blissful. And dancing in the sofa, jumping and crazy, yahoo, very good. No, that is wrong. Everything that is fun is wrong. Behave, behave, behave. Be quiet. How can a child be quiet? It has to, if he wants to dance, he wants to dance. If he wants to run, he wants to run. Every time, if he's going to run, no, behave. This is how everybody has this tightness. So it's just good that you see how it happened also, then it will go. You forgetting more, you know, these kind of prisons and chains that you have gotten on yourself, then you become more and more just natural. Then that's the whole thing. Just allow yourself to be natural. Then you will be surprised. Many things that you are trained not to do, maybe you like it. You have never tried it. And it will be many different stages. One time you like this, one time that, till it balances out again. Many times when we have group, I remember in Brazil also, then we had born again we had, get in touch with the child. Then if it's anything, I said, you never were allowed, do it now, you know? If it's anything you always was wishing for when you were a kid, go and buy it, no? Then you can have it, no? You can do what you want, realize it. You can do what you want now. Don't be worried, huh? There's, beloved, thank you a billion trillion times for everything. I'm so happy to be back. This is just the perfect place to be. You didn't know that? Huh? Oh, you became more clear now? Huh? It's nice, no? Huh? You start relaxing into it. That's how it is. You forget how it is, no? You get involved. Still, this retreat has also been a bit scary. There is a monstrous car that out of nowhere can hit me, even in Vipassana. There is this feeling that someone will stab me and tighten a rope around my neck from behind and kill me. Yeah, in meditation all these things will happen. And most probably somebody has done this to you. But that's what I said, you are safer. I have checked them, they are safe. Huh? So that's the thing in Vipassana and meditation, you just focus on the technique. Oh, you remember me, and I promise you nobody, just feel it. Memories will come up, maybe sometimes feelings. Many people have this from the past, they have to go through different feelings like that. It's like I'm expecting it, just waiting for the exact moment. And this feeling only comes when I'm sitting. Yeah, because the whole thing with sitting is that, no, you won't escape. You can't escape anymore. It's just a sign, no, I'm sitting, no, I'm stopping. That's what I want you to do. You stop, feel, come back to yourself. And then all these things will come up. When you have unburdened your mind and your physical body, your tensions, and then all these things will just happen by itself. You just watch it like you watch a movie. That's the whole traditional part of meditation. It's very difficult if people are very restless and very tight in their body. That's why we want to do all these things to unburden the physical body and the mind and the emotion. Then it's easier to just watch. Otherwise, it's hell. And here, it is a cooking pot, so I have to remind you, you know, that even if you don't know it, you are in the middle of the soup, so many things will come up. Huh? So it's very good that you do some meditations and, you know, whatever is coming up. Be true to yourself. The more you feel yourself, the more you will feel it, you know. Normally, people are not in contact with themselves. But you are in the cooking pot, you know, many things is coming up. That's why I have all these meditations, so you help yourself, then the sitting will be easier. I also had a strong feeling in dynamic a couple of days ago. I felt as if I was myself a child, jumping and singing. And then suddenly comes this feeling that someone is watching me and I'm caught in doing something I shouldn't have done. As if the moment I was enjoying so much was totally wrong. This is just what we talk about. No? That's how it is. It's bound to come up because you have to, this is a cleansing process. Hmm? Self-study, meditation, inquiry is to clean yourself. No? All this has to come up. It's all memories, all thoughts, all feelings that lays down there in the unconscious. But you don't need them, so you just clean them out. That's what meditation is. You go on airing them out. Then the inside of me just collapses and I feel so ashamed of myself and get stiff and shy. The same feeling of not knowing what to do because I'm ashamed of what I'm doing or not doing has been following me so long on many different occasions, pulling me away from doing what I really want to do, and I don't even know where it comes from. Who cares? Just do what you want to do. Enough is enough. Okay? Don't let these thoughts hold you back. It's not so important where they come from. It's just move on. Don't take any notice. Otherwise, people can study, you know. Therapy situation. Huh? It's non-ending because it's just part of the mind. And the mind always finds something new. And if you sometimes, after 40 years, finish with primal and therapy and gestalt and all these things, then you start with past life. That's why therapy, it never comes to here. I'm dealing with something different. It is part of it, but don't get fixed there. I know what I'm cooking, it's no problem. Just don't indulge, you know. Many people, many therapy and therapists, they are indulging in this finding out, finding, digging. Come back next Tuesday, digging. That's why they never finished. I never seen anybody who's finished. I don't even know where it comes from. This is maybe not the question, but maybe you can say something about it anyway. You are the best master ever. What do you know about that? Have you had so many masters? Well, I'm happy you're happy. I love you forever and I hope you will stay happy forever. For me, that's not a problem. Lots of love and love and love from Nandika. Very good, Nandika. Beloved, I bought this present for you some weeks ago. It is handmade and symbolizes true everlasting love. There might be two different bodies living separate lives, but they share the same heart, the same consciousness, as we all do. This love of our nature is eternally available presence, living itself to remember and recognize itself through itself. For the mind is a mystery, for the heart it is pure reality. It manifests itself as life. all the ordinary life situations with bodies included, and also knowing itself to be beyond birth and death. All this, this one?
That's very good.
This love is the only perceiver, and what it is, what is being perceived, is in every second of life, living and breathing itself. This love does not see any ego anywhere or in anyone. It only sees itself in the faces of all it meets. It is faceless. It is faceless, but sometimes it's a little scary when there's no face, no? Everything is the same, but it helps a lot to remember it, doesn't it? When love takes the shape of sharing as speaking, the body-mind is totally helpless. It finds itself helpless in the battlefield with every risk of being judged, hated, or even killed. It may be placed there, so to speak, in spite of its assumed own will. This is also very... It's not possible to understand from the mind, because you have free will as long as you are. If it's no you, then how can there be free will then? So it's different language, and still it's the same language. Everything is misunderstood on one level. But when love decides to speak, who is there to stop it? Nothing can stop it. It sees only itself in all, so it speaks to itself with the awareness that it may meet closed doors wherever it goes and be judged in every possible way. It knows no fear or doubt. It is itself love. It can't see any separation in consciousness, effortless love, life. No matter what obvious or ridiculous tests and jokes love puts up for itself. The actors are very cute but cannot hide the game. To make my mouth shut, my body has to be killed. And even then, I eternally dance at the feet of the Master, and he eternally dances in me, in love and gratitude. Let the dance go on. Even you. The blind can see and the crippled can dance. That's the day of great celebration. May the dance go on and everybody healthy enough to dance. Till you're exhausted, and then relax. Om Shanti.